Amen. Let's get right into the word. Y'all ready for the word? Amen. Amen. Now, how many of you got my late notice on Facebook, Instagram about the FOL new members pack? Did y'all see that? Raise your hand if you saw that. I want you to go on Facebook because this is the kind of church you come to that you don't want to just, you know, come here and not bring a Bible. It's not that kind of church. Okay? Because you want to, first of all, if you're serious about your growth in the things of God, you need your Bible. Amen? And some of us need to go back to a Bible with pages. Some of us, you have to be matured to have a Bible on a cell phone and a Bible on a tablet because you get other notifications while you're looking at that Bible to pull your to pull your attention off the word. And so, you know, when that little red thing bings up, your brain is trained to, are you listening to me? Your brain is trained to go to Facebook or Instagram and what have you. So you got to be really mature. So, and some of you need to know which direction the book is in. So you need you graduate to a cell phone Bible. You graduate to that. Somebody say amen. You know I'm talking to you. Right? There's so many distractions. So I want you to know, you know, how many got your Bible? Raise your Bible in the air. Raise your Bible in the air. If you got it on your phone, go and raise it. Amen. If you don't have an app on your phone, download it now. Good one to get. If you have a Droid, get My Sword. It's called My Sword. If you have an iPhone, get eSword. Best Bibles, okay? You don't need the internet for them or whatever. You get your Greek and Hebrew, and you'll need that at this church. Amen. You'll need a highlighter. You'll need a notepad and a pen, and you might need a calculator at times. Possibly a protractor or something like that. Because we go in at the fountain. Anybody say amen to that? All right. So do not. I want you to, let's shift the culture. I know we got it on the screens. But I want you to have your Bible so that you can grow up in the things of God. I'm here to train and develop and equip saints for the work of the ministry. Amen? So what lets me know you're serious is when you bring your Bible. Don't just sit there with your mouth open looking at me and looking at the screen and acting like you're going to retain that. The enemy will come immediately to steal that word. After I give you the word, the reason you want to take notes is so that you can go home and read over the things that I am telling you. Read over the things that I am telling you. Research them further because some things I just have to paraphrase, right? Because we can't go through the whole story, but you want to go home and read it and add that to your repertoire. Why? Because a storm is coming on the word you've been giving. And you want to make sure that you have actually taken the building materials I'm going to give you today and built your house with them. So when that test comes, you are ready to withstand the storm. Somebody say amen. Y'all ready for the word? All right, we've been on a series called Age of the Gentiles, and for the last couple of weeks, we've been laying foundation, amen, and we've been laying foundation, and today, we're going to go a lot further, and some dots are going to be connected. Now, this is a eschatological, which means study of end times. Somebody say eschatology. It's the study of end times. Now, it's an eschatological study, and there's a lot of theology and a lot of doctrine will be given to you. And as you, if you pay attention in this series, your whole Bible is going to come to life. All the stories you've been reading all these years will begin to connect. All the things that Jesus said in parables and things that Ezekiel said and things that Daniel said and things that Jeremiah said, they all start to come together. When you talk about the beasts of the Bible and when is the Lord going to return and what's the second coming and what dispensation are we in? It's going to be a class today, amen? But I believe it's going to illuminate the word, and that's my gift, is to illuminate the word, amen? So we've been on Age of the Gentiles. Last week, we began to talk about the vineyard, right? We talked about the church age and how we had these hidden messages all throughout the scripture about the church age. We're going to go further on that today. If they'll just kind of put up my first slide here, slide 31, I believe it is. This is where we talked about how Jesus went to the Jews first because he had a contract with them. He had to give them the first right of refusal, right? Anybody know when you're in contract with someone, you have to have the first right of refusal. Once you decide that you don't want it, then they get to go and do other things or go to a second option. So Jesus gave the Jews the first right of refusal. And since they rejected Jesus, he was able to go to the Gentiles. Let's go to our next slide here. This is review from last week. Let's move through these really quickly. And so Jesus knew he needed to reconcile the Gentiles, right, the lost sheep right? The sheep from another fold, you remember that? He said in order to accomplish his plan, he had to conceal his plan. He couldn't let the enemy know or the Pharisees and Sadducees know that by his death he'd be able to create the church and to reconcile the Gentiles to himself. So he had to hide it in a mystery. You with me? Somebody say a mystery. The church was hidden in a mystery all throughout the Old Testament, not revealed until the very end, right before Jesus went to the cross. And then when he died, that was the birth of the church. And so, because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says that if they had known what Jesus was doing, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. Next slide. What is the church age? Read it with me. The time where God takes his focus off the Jews and places it on the Gentile church. Somebody said, let's read it one more time. The church age is the time where God takes his focus off the Jews and places it on the Gentile church. We're in the church age right now, okay? I want to give you a couple of code names for the church age as well. One of them is called the prophetic gap. Write that down in your notes, the prophetic gap. There's another one called summer. I haven't heard that too much, but it's what the Lord gave me. I've noticed that in the Bible, prophetically, the church age is referred to a lot of times or depicted as summertime. Okay? And we'll talk about that in another teaching, and you will completely understand why. I say a lot of things up here, but I'm always going to prove to you why. Okay? All right. So we're in the church age right now. Let's go to our next slide there. Right, so religious folks, the Jews, rejected Jesus, so Jesus went secular. Jesus went to the world. The church is the result of God's love for the world. He loved the world so much that he created the church to win the world. So the church is not of the world, but it's for the world. Amen? It's not of the world, but it's for the world. And we're going to talk about the church in another teaching. So you want to stay with me through these series. If you know anything about Fountain, anything about me, you know if you miss a couple weeks, you're going to be way behind, all right? This is just like school, amen? Amen, all right? And let's go to one here. It's our last one. So these are some key points about the church. The church was birthed at the cross, came out of Jesus' side, just like Eve came out of the side of Adam, which is why Jesus referred to as the second Adam. Church age began at the day of Pentecost. It began at the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost came and sat on men with tongues of fire. The church age will last until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. That's where we're going to focus today. The fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Now remember, we started this series talking about the time of the Gentiles, and then we talked about the fullness of the Gentiles. You all remember that? We'll hit more on that today. That'll be our focus today. And then it says, church age will end with the rapture of the church. The church age will end with the rapture of the church. We'll talk about that today. And the Antichrist, which everybody is so concerned about, is revealed when the church age ends. The Antichrist will be revealed. In other words, he will not come into power. He may be here. We may even discern who it might be, but he will not come into power until the church age ends. There is other eschatological teachings that state that the church will be here during the tribulation and the church will have to deal with the Antichrist. I will show you and prove to you scripturally how that is absolutely contractually impossible. So you will have, see, that's why you go to a good teaching church. So you don't have to be, notice when it tells apostles, prophets, and teachers to equip saints for the work of the ministry, that all will come to the unity of the faith. And it says, so that you would not be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. In other words, when you have strong, solid, foundational, Bible-based teaching, when you hear stuff, you will immediately know that is not true. So I'm here to equip you. Now, we can holler and amen and run around the church, and you leave here with nothing in your brain, and you just had a good sweat. But I want to put some word in your heart so that you are established in the things of God. Amen? So this is why you got to bring your Bible, all right? So let's keep going. So let's unpack these points further. We're going to focus on number 3 and number 2 today, okay? We talked about the fullness of the Gentiles. Now remember, the time of the Gentiles is in Luke 21, verse 24, all right? Let's go Luke 21, 24, and it says, and they will fall by the edge of the sword, right? We're just picking up right at that last passage. This is in Luke where it's actually referring to Matthew 24. Just stay with me, all right? Luke 21, 24, was our foundational text for the series, okay? It says, and they will fall, read it with me, and they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled by what? The Gentiles, until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. So we have the time of the Gentiles. Say that with me, the time of the Gentiles. The time of the Gentiles is directly related to Jerusalem. That's why we did the study on why is Jerusalem so important, right? If you weren't here, go back and get the previous teachings, okay? So the times of the Gentiles are directly connected to the trampling of Jerusalem, okay? All right? And then if you go back to my slide there, slide 36, we have these two components. When we talk about the age of the Gentiles, we have two components. The time of the Gentiles, which is Luke 21, 24, and the fullness of the Gentiles, Romans 11, 25. That's what you want to write in your notes, okay? All right? So the fullness of the Gentiles, all right? That's in Romans 11, 25. Let's turn there. They'll put it on the screen. You can just write that one down because we've hit these scriptures already. Write them down and read them later, okay? Romans 11, 25. Read it with me. For I do not desire. Now, catch this. This is Paul talking to a Gentile church in the New Testament. So we want to understand the context of that. You with me? So he's saying, for I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. What mystery? Lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles have come in. What mystery? The mystery that how the Jews could have the word of God, the Torah, have all these symbols and types, all these prophecies, all these things that came before Jesus, John the Baptist included, and still miss Jesus. And still not recognize that he was the Messiah. So he's telling this Gentile church, listen, we're glad that you're in the Gentile church. We're glad that you accepted Jesus. But let's not get too high-minded and start looking down on the Jews. You need to understand that the Jews rejected Jesus. Catch this. Jesus only went secular because the Jews rejected him. But they rejected him. That blindness in part was part of God's plan. And that blindness is only for a temporary amount of time until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. God's focus is on who right now? Say it with me loud. The what? The Gentile church in particular, right? Filling the Gentile church until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Then he will redirect his attention back to who? Israel. And this is what Paul is telling them, all right? So you have the time of the Gentiles and the what? Say it with me. The time of the Gentiles and what else? So when we talk about the age or the dispensation of Gentiles, we are talking about the time of the Gentiles and the fullness of the Gentiles. Now, if you're lost, stay with me. Ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, open my mind. I have the mind of Christ. I can understand all things concerning your word. You want me to understand. And when I get through with this, I promise you everybody in here from child to adult is going to understand. Amen? All right. Now, so we have two components, the time of the Gentiles and the what? Age. The fullness of the Gentiles. Amen. You're right. All right. So the blindness that the Jews had concerning recognizing Jesus as the Messiah is so that he would be released to the Gentiles. Now, let's look at this word fullness, the definition of the word fullness that we just saw in Romans 11, 25. It's the Greek word pleroma. Say it with me, pleroma. What does this mean? This simply means the repletion or completion. What fills as content, supplement, the multitude, right? What is filled as a container. In other words, a performance period. In other words, the fullness of the Gentiles is talking about a count of Gentiles. Till the fullness of the Gentiles. It's a mathematical term, all right? In other words, to refill a container. Guess what the container is? The church. He's putting Gentiles in the church until the fullness is complete. You with me? I want you to see that so you understand this. All right? So, here's the key point. Let's go to our next slide here. All right? So, the time of the Gentiles is Gentile rule over Jerusalem. It's Gentile rule over Jerusalem. Okay? While these are connected, they are not the same thing. Gentile rule over Jerusalem. This speaks to political and military power over Jerusalem, which we're experiencing when? Right now. Okay? So the time of the Gentiles has to do with Gentile rule over Jerusalem. The clock of the time of the Gentiles begin with the exile of the Jews. You remember when Daniel and his compadres were taken from Israel by King Nebuchadnezzar was taken into Babylon. Remember when the three Hebrew boys were thrown into the fiery furnace? That was the first time since the birth of the nation of Israel, are you listening to me, that they were exiled. And from that time on, Israel has never been in full control of Jerusalem. So the clock of the time of the Gentiles began at the exile of the Jews. The clock will end with the return of Christ, not the rapture of Christ. The return of Christ. Say it with me, second coming. The second coming and the rapture are not the same thing. We're going to lay this foundation. Trust me, we'll preach afterward. Okay? So, the time of Gentiles is Gentile rule over Jerusalem. Number two, the clock began at the exile of the Jews and is continuing to run. And then number three, the clock ends at the return of Christ. I want you to catch this. Here's proof of it. I found this scripture just cracked me up. Ezekiel 30 and 1, if they'll just put it on the screen, just write it down. You don't have to turn there. Look at what Ezekiel, an Old Testament, prophesies. He says, the word of the Lord came to me again, saying, son of man, prophesy and say, thus says the Lord God, wail, woe to the day. For the day is near, even what? The day of the Lord is near. Who knows what the day of the Lord is? The day of the Lord is the second coming. All throughout Scripture, you'll see that Old and New Testament, the day of the Lord is not the rapture. The day of the Lord is when Jesus Christ returns on the clouds. Remember when he got taken up, the angel said to him, why are you looking like this? The same Jesus that you see taken to heaven in clouds and angels, he's going to come back the exact same way, riding on the clouds. Matter of fact, riding on a horse with clouds. Amen? Look at what Ezekiel says hundreds of years before, that it will be a day of clouds, the time of the Gentiles. So Ezekiel, an Old Testament prophet who does not know about the church age because the church age was hidden in the mystery. Old Testament prophets didn't know about it. Because if they had prophesied about it, Satan would have picked up on it and would have canceled it. So it says, but here he's talking about the coming of the Messiah in Ezekiel, saying it will be a day of clouds, the time of the Gentiles. So this is proof that the second coming will end the time of the Gentiles. Are you with me? All right, so catch this. Now the second one, let's go to the next slide here. The fullness of the Gentiles is a set number of Gentiles to be saved. A set number of Gentiles to be saved. Pastor, does that mean not anybody who wants to be saved can be saved? Anybody who wants to be saved can be saved, because anybody who wants to be saved has already predetermined that they will be saved. Now, for more on predestination, visit my website. I have a message called The Masterpiece, and I break predestination down in detail to where you will never be confused again. We chose Christ because we lived before we lived. Jesus is Alpha and Omega, so he went ahead in our life, saw that we would choose him, and then after he predestined us, then he called us to, and then he chose us. Okay? So you chose Christ in the spirit realm long before you were ever born, because Jesus was slain before the foundations of the world. It was already done in the spirit. He came down here on earth and then did it. All right? So a set number of Gentiles will be saved. Okay? The count began on the day of Pentecost. When the full count is complete, then it will trigger the rapture of the church. So pay attention here. Time ends the time of the Gentiles. The count triggers the rapture. Matthew 24, verse 14 proves it. And this gospel of the kingdom, what does it say? Will be preached in all the world as witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. So, preaching triggers the rapture. Stay with me. So if you pay close attention, you will realize two things. These two periods are not the same, but they are actually overlapping and they are interrelated. If you'll put up my first slide there, 40, yes. Okay, so you have this continuum of time, the time of the Gentiles. This started here at the exile of the Jews and it's continuing. Then the fullness of the Gentiles begins here, which started at the birth of the church in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit came, and will the fullness of the Gentiles will end before the time of the Gentiles. I was going to try to put the whole thing together, but then I found one online by Dr. Chuck Missler. Write his name down. Absolute monster. Absolute monster, an engineer, you know, and doctor, and a straight theologian. And so he put a slide together, and so I must give him honor. Until my software team can help me find software that can do this, I'm going to use his, all right? So if you'll go to my next slide here, all right, and you'll see these seven dispensations, all right? We won't focus on all the dispensations. The dispensation we're focused on is the age of the Gentiles. But the seven dispensations are: one, innocence, this is creation; two, conscience, when man fell and became conscious of sin; human governments, this would be, you know, the Tower of Babel and all those different things. The fourth one here would be the promise and the law, okay? And then you move into this area, which is the age of the Gentiles. You have the time of the Gentiles. Then you have the fullness of the Gentiles, which is also commensurate with the church age, okay? And you notice, I don't know if you can see this here, but this right here is the cross of Christ. And it's saying, okay, this is where this started. And then right here is the word exile. You may not be able to read that. Right, okay. So exile starts the time of the Gentiles. The cross starts the fullness of the Gentiles. Exile starts the time of the Gentiles. The cross starts the fullness of the Gentiles. Does that make sense? All right. So these two together represents the age or dispensation of Gentiles. That's where we are right now. We are in the 5th dispensation. After that will be another dispensation called the tribulation. That's the 6th dispensation. And then after the return of Christ, which ends the tribulation, you have the kingdom here on earth, not in heaven. The tribulation happens during our heaven time. What are we called? The salt of what? And what does the salt do? It preserves the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, it's good for nothing but to be cast out. Or if you remove the salt from the earth, the preservative that protects the earth is gone. So when the church is raptured, then the Antichrist will show up. And that's why there has to be a new heaven and a new earth, because this one will be destroyed just like it was as in the days of Noah. Okay? So what dispensation are we in? The 5th dispensation. It is called the Age of the Gentiles, also mainly known as the Church Age, right? Also known as the Prophetic Gap. And we'll study the gap, which will make your whole Bible just explode to you. Okay? And then, and here's the thing. Now we can truly be sons of Issachar because we know what time it is. You with me? So, here's where we are. Now, on this continuum of church, if the cross was here, we're right around this area. Okay? We're right around that area. Which means now you know why it's called the last days. Now, also consider this. When you talk about the prophecies of Daniel, this is the 69th week ended right here, where the Jews' clock is on freeze time. It's on pause. They're like this. Even though they're moving around in the spirit, they're like this. Their clock does not pick up until the tribulation. Because they still have a penalty on a contract that's on hold right now until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. Which is why it's impossible for us to be here for the tribulation, because we never signed that contract. If we're here during the tribulation, God is an unjust God, because he's making us pay the penalty of a contract we're not under. So whatever you do, don't miss the first bus. Don't be late. All right. So does this slide help make sense? Again, this is by Dr. Chuck Missler, so I'm giving credit to him, all right? All right, so I want you to catch this. One is based on time, the other is based on tally. You see how these are overlapping? Go back. You see how these are overlapping? The time of the Gentiles, but they're overlapping. It started before and ends after, but this is during that same time. They're overlapping, just how I showed before, okay? So one is based on time, the other is based on tally. Let's go to my slide there. So time versus tally. I'm going to call the name of this message time versus tally. So we have a countdown clock for the time of the Gentiles. We have a tally count for the fullness of the Gentiles. Is everybody with me? Young people, you with me? All right. So the clock is ticking down on the time of the Gentiles that they will rule over Jerusalem, while every time someone gets saved, there's a count. The turnstile turns in heaven. And what God does is in this book called the Lamb's Book of Life, every time somebody gets saved, here's again predestination, he doesn't write their name in, he checks their name off. Because the Bible says all the names are already written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because it's already been predetermined that you would be saved. Why? Because before he put you in your body, he walked through your life with you to see the day that you would choose him. Go read your Bible. It's right there in Romans chapter 8. Again, go online and get Masterpiece. The whole first message will answer all your questions. Okay? Anybody witness to that? Okay, trust me. All right, so there's a tally count. That tally count began at the day of Pentecost, right? Okay, so time is clicking down on the time of the Gentiles. Tally is increasing on the fullness of the Gentiles. Now, here's the thing, key point. We can't control the time, but we can control the tally. Stay with me. We can't control the time, but we can control the tally. See, time is in God's hands. But the tally count of how many Gentiles get saved is directly the responsibility of the church. Who's responsible for the fullness of the Gentiles? Come on, somebody say the church. Now look at your neighbor and ask him what your count is. What's your count? How many accredited to your name? Woo! We've been sitting here eating and ain't shared no food. Let me lay this foundation down. Acts chapter 2. Read this with me. You guys know this is the day of Pentecost when the Lord came and poured out the Holy Spirit. I want you to pay attention. It's the day of Pentecost. There's something really key here that's said in the very first statement. It says, and when the day of Pentecost had fully come. Somebody say fully. Fully come. Well, why doesn't it say that in all the other days of Pentecost that were before this one? I mean, the day of Pentecost had come before. Amen. This is one of the five feasts, right? You know, you have the Passover, unleavened bread. You have first fruits, right? And then you have Pentecost. And then after that is a summer gap. Then you have the Feast of Trumpets, then Atonement. Okay, we'll hit that on another week. But trust me, you don't want to miss that one. That when the day of Pentecost had fully come. Why? Because Pentecost and all of the feasts were prophetic shadows of things that God was going to do. So when it says when the day of Pentecost had fully come, it's saying the fulfillment of the day of Pentecost is now here. All the other Pentecosts were speaking to the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost would come. So pay attention. Everything that Jesus has ever done has been on all of his redemptive work has been on a Jewish feast day. He died on Passover. He separated the sinner from himself, being Judas, on the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which that's what unleavened means, to separate the leaven. He rose on first fruits, and the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost. What happens after Pentecost? A summer gap. You're going to see it right there in the scripture. It's going to blow your mind. Okay? Stay with me, all right? So the day of Pentecost had fully come, and they were all with one accord in one place, right? And so you know the whole passage, right? Most of you know the whole passage. If not, please write it down, read it later. But remember, the Holy Ghost comes upon them like tongues of what? Fire. And they begin to speak with other tongues. Somebody say, speak in tongues. We speak in tongues at this church. Now, the Bible talks about there are diverse kinds of tongues, right? Diverse kinds of tongues. One of them is the tongues of men, which is what happened here. The other one is your heavenly language, or your personal tongues, or your prayer language. Amen. And then there is the gift of tongues, okay? So this would fall under the gift of tongues, but it's particularly the tongues of men. Why? Because they were speaking in other earthly languages. Now, if the church is for the who? It's for who? So until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in, wouldn't it make sense that the first thing Jesus does is gives you Rosetta Stone in the Spirit so you can preach the word of God to every nation, and he waits until people from all over the world are in one place and they hear the message of the Holy Ghost? Because the Bible says, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, which means this was not them just talking in Italian because they knew Italian. This means the Spirit taught them a language immediately. Read four, and they were, verse five, and they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from what? Every nation under heaven. So immediately God drops a bomb of preaching power, and Egyptians, Scythians, Parthians, when you go down and read, the whole nation, because everybody was there to worship for the day of Pentecost, and so they all get other tongues, and then they hear the gospel message preached in their language. In other words, at the day of Pentecost, God reversed the Tower of Babel. You were at the wrong church then, because the Tower of Babel was a temple. Be with me for the next series called Mystery Babylon. So I had to confuse your language, because I didn't want you, because you were learning a new religion there. And when he spread the language, that's how you got all these false religions that sound just like Christianity, because Satan was trying to hide the real Christ. So that was at the wrong church. Now at my church, I'm going to reverse it back. Everybody's speaking the same language. Catch this. And then, remember, Peter stands up with boldness. Now, isn't it interesting? Can I just say this for you? Isn't it interesting that right at the time that the Holy Ghost falls and people are praying in tongues, not just prophesying, but praying in other tongues, some people said, this is outrageous. This, how could these people know our language? We hear them declaring the wonderful works of God. But at the same time the Holy Ghost showed up, a mocking spirit showed up. These people are full of new wine. These people are drunk. Them folks are crazy. You over there, that tongue-talking church? It started at the beginning of the church. As soon as God sent the Holy Spirit, Satan sent a mocking spirit. And that's why there's so many churches that quench the Holy Spirit, because they don't want to be mocked. They don't want to run. They want to fill seats because, you know, the Holy Spirit, everybody don't understand because they don't read their Bible, right? And so, you know, so you got churches closing all over because the Holy Ghost is the one who lights the fire, and every church must have a candlestick. As soon as he showed up, it was like tongues of what? Fire. He lit the candle of the church. Notice all the churches in Revelations, churches with a candlestick. So Peter rises up. Look what he does. He rises up. He begins to preach and ministers the word with power. And he tells them, oh, we got to read this part. We got to, because we were just saying, does anybody love the name, right? Weren't we saying that? Wasn't that y'all? All right, Acts 2:34. Paul's preaching, and look at what he says here. He says, for David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. This is a prophetic statement by David concerning Jesus Christ. And Peter refers to this passage in his first sermon at the church. Pay attention. Why did he choose this one? And then he says in verse 36, let's keep reading. Therefore, let all of the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus. So you got to remember, these 12 apostles of the Lamb had actually been with Jesus since the beginning of his ministry, saw him rise from the dead, and he hung out with them for 40 days. It wasn't no one moment. You got to understand, dead people got up from the grave with Jesus and went back into the city and hung with their family for a little bit, including Lazarus. Go back and read your Bible. I did a series called The Miracles of Jesus, talking about the rising of Lazarus. Let me tell you, they were scared because when you know a man been dead 4 days and the whole city knows and you see him sitting at the table, it's like, oh, snaps, is that Lazarus? You'd be scared to shake his hand. Like, Jesus hung out with dead people, formerly dead. So, and then it says that Jesus presented himself to 500 people at one time. So in other words, when Peter is preaching, he is not talking to people who don't know what's up. He is talking to people who saw the whole thing and have possibly seen Jesus himself. It was 120 of them that had definitely seen him. So when he's preaching with power. And now he's saying, this same Jesus whom you crucified, God has made him both Lord and Christ. Let me introduce you to the true name of Jesus. It is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is one of the first times it's used in the Bible. We're teaching this right now on Wednesday nights called the Acts of the Apostles. And you know how the Bible says, should I drop it? Yeah, I'll go ahead and drop it. You know how the Bible says that Jesus says to us, those who believe in me shall do the works that I've done, but you shall do greater works than me because I'm going to my Father? Well, I always wonder why he said that. He said, because they were already casting out demons. They were already, you know, doing opening blinded eyes and opening deaf ears. So what's new? What do you mean greater works because I go to my Father? He says, you were already doing what I was doing because you believe in me. But when I go to my Father, you're going to do greater works than me. And I've always wondered, Lord, what does that mean? How are we going to do greater works? And the Lord said, you're going to do these greater works in my name. And then he asked me, what's my name? I said, Jesus. He said, what's my name? Jesus Christ. What's my name, son? Jesus Christ of Nazareth? He said, what's my name? I said, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the name that he won because he conquered death, hell, and the grave. They called him the Lord, but he had not earned the title until he got up from the grave with all power in his hands and the keys. This is why it says he's been given a name more excellent than all of the angels. He did not have it until after the resurrection. So the name that the disciples were using is not the same name that they used when they were apostles. So they have a greater name. Therefore, they can do greater works. You'll catch it in a little while. We thought it was something we had to do. No, no, you're using a different name now. When Michael rebuked Satan, he said, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord. Lordship. It's a name of victory. It's a name of conquest. It's a name because it's the trophy that he got when he got to heaven. Says, you are now not just Jesus, the anointed one. You are the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you rebuke the devil, you rebuke him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you lay hands on the sick, you say, get up and walk in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God knows his name. He knows when we say Jesus. Yes, God responds when we call him Jesus. But you got to call it by the title because that's the actual name that is more excellent than all the names in heaven and earth. If you work hard to get your PhD, you want to be called doctor. Am I talking to anybody in here? You ever go back to them folks that after you didn't work your behind off, put all that time in and studied hard, and you have an earned PhD, and it was like, oh, you're just Jaron. You just, no, you're going to call me doctor. When you write your name down for your reservation, you put Dr. Jaron O'Neill. And they would say, Jaron, no, that ain't what it say on there. You're going to call me by my name. If you ask anything in my, maybe we haven't been using the right name. Jesus says, I earned it, but you don't want to call me that? See, that's the problem with a lot of people's life, is he's their savior, but he's not their Lord. Two different things. Savior means you save me, I accept your sacrifice. Lord means you rule. And so after he preaches this, he says, verse 37, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent, let every one of you be baptized and in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you and your children and to all who are far off, and as many of the Lord our God who shall come will call. And verse 40 says, and with many other words he testified, exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. Read this part with me. And that day about 3,000 souls, what does it say, were added. I wonder why I'd use the word added. In other words, at the beginning of the fullness of the Gentiles, the tally started off with 3,000. They were added. Peter started the church age with a tally of 3,000 souls. Now that we understand that the fullness of the Gentiles, which we are responsible for, now we can understand why the Bible says the angels rejoice over one sinner that gets saved. It shows it in Luke 15:10. Y'all remember that? It says that all of heaven goes crazy when one person gets saved. Why? Because the angels are keeping count. Because they didn't seen the book. We almost there, y'all. We're almost there. Let me keep preaching here. Notice in that same passage, in Luke 15:1, there are three other parables. You've read them all the time. You know the parable of lost sheep, where Jesus leaves the 99 to go get the one? You know the parable of lost coin, where Jesus has 10 coins, or the woman has 10 coins, loses one, lights a candle and sweeps her whole house to find the one coin, and calls her whole family and say, listen, I had 10 coins, lost one and found one, and now I got it back. Come rejoice with me. Anybody used to wonder, like, she doing all that over a coin? I've had people come up to me and say, you know, Pastor, you're supposed to leave the 99 to go to the one. Jesus left the 99 sheep to go to the one. Yeah, he went after sheep, not goats. And you don't do nothing we say. You don't follow no instructions. You don't follow no rules. You don't show up to no prayer. You don't show up to, and I'm supposed to run after you because goats don't want a leader. Goats have their own shepherd. They call them goat herds. Jesus went after sheep. And when he got the sheep that went off, he would break their leg and carry them around his neck. That's why I always saw Jesus with a lamb around his neck. It's not because he loved the sheep so much. I mean, he does love the sheep. But the reason he's carrying them is because he broke the leg so you won't run off again. So when Jesus goes to get the lost one, expect that whooping. Are you sure you want me to leave the 99 to go get the one? That's why it's so good to study. We just see, oh, look at him holding the baby around his neck. That lamb is screaming, ah, ah. Then right after that, in the same passage, is a prodigal son. But we've read all of these parables, have we not? Right? Did you know that they're all about the church age? Go to Luke 15:1. Just put it up there. Here's the context. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him, referring to Jesus, to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. Look at what Jesus says. So he spoke a parable to them, saying, and this is when he goes in to the lost sheep. Then he goes right into the parable of the 10 coins. Why silver coins? Because silver is the price of a soul. So it's not about 10 coins, it's about 10 souls. Silver is what they paid when they sold Joseph. Silver is what they paid when they set up Jesus. It's always symbolic, representing the price of a soul. So anytime the woman is chasing 10 silver coins, she has 10 souls. One gets lost. I'm going to leave the 9 I already have, Jews, and go get this Gentile. I got 2 sons. One went wild for wild living and one stayed here. When that son gets in the pig pen and finally realizes that he misses his father and comes home, I'm going to throw a party. Because the one that was dead is now alive. And remember, the other son got mad in the parable of the prodigal son. I've been here this whole time. I've been a Jew this whole time. I've always kept your commandments. You didn't throw no party for me. He said, why aren't you happy that your brother was lost and now he's found? Let me put a ring on him. Let me put robes on him. And in those passages, it says, this is why the angels rejoice over one sinner, because Jesus left the 99 Jews to go get the one Gentile. Jesus left the 9 coins to go get the one Gentile. The whole passage is about the church age and the fullness of the Gentiles, and we made it about ourselves. Notice that all of these parables are quantitative. All of them are about a count. 99, 10, and 2. I want you to catch this. The angels are keeping count. The tally is up. James chapter 4. Notice the passage here is that Jesus will remain sitting until his enemies are made his footstool. Right? The Lord said to Jesus, sit here at my right hand. How long has Jesus been sitting? Jesus has been sitting ever since he went into the Holy of Holies and placed his blood on the altar for all mankind for all time. And the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, and then he sat down. Why? Because he doesn't have to get up and provide another sacrifice, because he was the perfect sacrifice. He was the sacrifice to end all sacrifices. So he's been sitting at the right hand. So look at what the Lord says to him. Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Well, what's an enemy of God? James 4 and 4 tells us what an enemy of God. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself what? An enemy of God. So what is an enemy of God? Someone who is a friend with the world. Can we go further? Romans 5 and 10. For if when we were enemies, this is talking about us, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. This scripture proves that those that are sinners, those that are unbelievers, are considered enemies of God. Say it with me, they're enemies of God. In Romans, he's saying, when you and I, we were all enemies. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So the only way to not be an enemy is to be reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus at the cross. Y'all see that in the scripture? Does everybody see it? So what's an enemy of God? A friend of the world, a sinner, an unbeliever. They don't even know it. They're actually at war with God. They have not received the peace that is made through the blood. Whether they're knowingly at war with God or unknowingly at war with God, every non-believer, according to scripture, is an enemy of God. Those who love the world are an enemy of God. So when Jesus says, when God says to Jesus, you're going to sit here until my enemies are made my footstool. The only thing we got to figure out is what's a footstool. And we saw that earlier this month, 1 Chronicles 28 and 2. When David was getting ready to build the temple, look at what he says. Read this with me. Just write it down. You don't have to turn there. Just write it down. The King David rose to his feet and said, hear me, my brethren and my people. I had it in my heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord. That's talking about the temple. Look at what he says afterward. And for a footstool for our God, and had made preparations to build it. Verse 3. But God said to me, you shall not build a house for my name, because you have been a man of war and have shed blood. Let's think about this. So the footstool is what? The footstool is what? You just read it, people of God. Say it with me. The footstool, if David said, I'm going to build a place for the ark. Where was the ark at? In the temple. The church. Then he says, I wanted to build a footstool for my God. The church is the footstool. Okay, hold on. The fullness of the Gentiles is based on the... Let's say it again. I want to make sure you hear. The fullness of the Gentiles is based on what? The tally, the count of believers that get saved. Jesus, you're going to sit here until the sinners come to the footstool. And the Holy Ghost said to me, tell my people to make me get up. When's the rapture going to come? They always talk about the rapture. They always doing this and the other. Hey, they've been saying it's the last days forever. I've been sitting here waiting on Jesus. And he waiting on? Sit here until your enemies are made your footstool. And we thought we were supposed to go out there fighting. No, you're supposed to go out there and win the loss. Because enemies are unbelievers. They are sinners. They're at war with God. And you are to make peace with them and God by bringing them into the footstool. His feet are right here. Tell my people to make me get up. See, here's the thing. The Bible said, we just read in Matthew 24, that the gospel has to preach to all nations and all kingdoms, and then the end will come. So you need to stop mocking evangelistic teachers on TV. We talking and running around. We ride by them people holding up the signs. Jesus loves. Jesus saves. No, see what they're doing. See, it don't mean they have to accept it. As long as they heard it. We ought to thank God. You ought to start paying attention every time you see these big funerals and a pastor who gets up on national television and preaches the real gospel. You need to understand all them Gentiles that were sitting there watching it heard the true gospel message. Whether they receive it or not, you have now heard it. As long as it goes to the other, there was a neighborhood in Kiria in Kenya that hadn't heard the gospel. There was a church in California, in Pomona, California, that says, we're going to make sure that these people can actually hear the gospel in their language. So we gave money to bring those Bibles over to Kenya. And now people are walking 25 miles to get the message. Somebody say. So all of heaven is going crazy. Like, we got another one. We got another one. We got another one. Listen. Since we have moved into this church, the average of people joining the church is 85 members a year. And then hundreds are getting saved when we go out and do the Love Gives Pomona, when we do our Christmas giveaway. And this is why the crazy part is, it's the sometimes the service the fewest people show up to. And you ain't got no numbers next to your name. You remember 1 Corinthians 15, or 5:8, put it up there, 5:18, I think it is. It says that Jesus reconciled us to himself and then gave us the ministry of reconciliation. 1 Corinthians, it's right there on my paper, 5:18. Jesus reconciled him to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, I want you to catch this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Do y'all see that? I want you to catch this. Notice the word reconciliation is used. I looked it up. It talks about the exchange of coins. It's a mathematical term to say, okay, let's reconcile. All right. So the fullness of Gentiles has to be so many billion. So far, we're at 999 million. Okay, so now that you were an enemy, and now that you've been reconciled, I've now given you the ministry of reconciliation, and go get the enemies where you used to hang out. You were an enemy. I've converted you in the ecclesia, and now I'm sending you back out to go convert more enemies. I need you to go out as a king and a priest. And I need you to go tell them about my love. And listen, you don't have to preach. Let your life be an epistle read of men. Let them see what Jesus is doing in your life. Don't sit up here and just get this word and then don't do nothing with it. And sit here and listen. And you walking in the hospitals, you see people sick, and you got the power of the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. And you can go, listen, can I pray with you? And then allow the Holy Ghost to use you to give a word of wisdom. Listen, I feel as I touch your hand that you have a son. And you've been believing for God for that son to get saved. But we're so scared. And God is saying, don't you know that I gave you the Holy Ghost for outside the church, not just inside the church? Don't be a professional inside the church. You always want the mic, but you don't want the street corner? You sitting next to people that are depressed, suicidal thoughts, about to lose their husband, about to quit, about to give up on life, and you have the word of life, and you just sit there with your little headphones on the download club. Ooh, this word is so good. Woo, Jesus. Mm. God has called the church to make him get up. When is Jesus going to get here? When you get up and get to work? We got to do everything we can, and it costs money to spread the gospel. And this is why they're trying to shut churches down. They're trying to censor our word, because the devil is trying to make sure the count don't get caught, that we don't meet the count. It's time for us to get out on street corners. Stop mocking them people knocking on your door. Even if they are Jehovah's Witness and Mormons, they're doing more than you. When the last time you've been out? I know I got thousands to my name, and it ain't because I'm pastor. I had hundreds to my name at 13. Is that a fact? We used to go all over the country on crusades, 13 years old, rapping about Jesus. We saw mutes speak, deaf ears open. Am I right, Elder Fuller? Okay. 13. I didn't even realize I was an evangelist. I thought I was a rapper, and people just happened to get saved. And when I got called to the gospel ministry, I was like, Lord, you know, I ain't been trained for this. And the Lord had to walk me through it. Like, he said, I've been training you since you was 11 years old. You've been in the temple like Samuel. You was wax on, wax off, and you didn't even know it. And we got to make enemies his footstool. We thought that we're going to wait for God to make his enemies his footstool. He didn't say, you know, he says, wait till my people go make your enemies your footstool. And this is why it says Jesus, his inheritance is the heathen. And so when we go out and win the lost and tell people about Jesus, we are actually going to get Jesus's inheritance. There's people out there that belong to Jesus and don't know it yet. Their names are written in the Lamb's book, but they haven't met you yet. I wonder how many, because you know there's a book of their lives, right? Psalms 139, right? I wonder how many people have your name next to them. Oh, let me say it again. How many people who don't know Jesus won't receive it from anybody else but you? And Jesus is already predetermined. You're going to meet them on August 24th. In the grocery store, and I'm going to prick your heart to say you have a word for them. Now let's make sure fear don't stop you from saying, hey sister, how are you doing? Can I talk to you real quick? Can I pay for your groceries? Right? Because if I meet your need, you're going to listen to me. I see you struggling up there with your little coupons and your food stamps, and I'm up here here they go. I wish they would get these people. And Jesus says, you saw me when I was naked and you didn't clothe me. You saw me when I was hungry and you didn't feed me. Oh, I hope I'm pricking. And the angels are sitting next to you like this. Go ahead, say it. Go ahead, say it. Oh, I wish they would drop the line. Instead of walking up, hey, you know what? Don't worry about it, sweetheart. Let me get you. Hey, go get you some other stuff. Because God has blessed me. I'm a tither. I put God first. He blesses me. Go on. Listen, you don't just got to get the peanut butter and the cheese. Come on, let's go get you some other stuff real quick. Let me help you out. You need some diapers for your baby? You need some shoes for your baby? All right, let's go and get that. Now listen, can I just pray with you? Can I just talk to you? And when you start praying with him, see, you don't have to have the whole message right now. You just got to take one step. And when I grab your hand, then the Holy Ghost will start talking to you. Father, I just thank you for Michael. I thank you that you're helping his family. You're healing his body. And Lord, then the word of wisdom comes. The word of knowledge. I thank you for that job situation. I thank you for that medical diagnosis that he got. And their eyes open up. How did you know that? Oh, no, I have the Holy Spirit. And he sent me to you this day to let you know that Jesus loves you. And that he wants to set you free, even from that molestation that happened to you in your past. How did you know that? Oh, the Holy Ghost, he's real. And he cares about you. And today is your day. The whole kingdom of heaven has been waiting on you. When you minister to somebody like that, and listen, because you're operating in faith, then the gifts of miracles and the working, come on, the gifts of healings, the working of miracles, they all begin to operate because you have now moved into the kingdom assignment of making enemies his footstool. And you don't, let me tell you something, people of God, you don't even know what's in you. And that's why he want to keep you worried about your tires and your credit card and your rent, because you can't focus on nobody else. And the heaven is waiting to click the tally. We got another one. Another one bites the dust. We got another convert. But while you're sitting there quiet, worried about your own self with a selfish gospel. A selfish gospel with answers in our heart, answers in our mouth, and will not say a word. The Lord rebuke you. Let me stir your faith. You're going to do greater works than Jesus. You're not going in your name. You're going in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Teenagers, preach the word. That means you can't listen to the same music they do and tell them about Jesus. You can't smoke the same weed they do and tell them about Jesus. You can't be WTF on Instagram and preach Jesus later. It's time to be ye separate. Oh, I'm going to stay right here. I know it's 12:22, but God is serious about bringing the fullness of the Gentiles in. Let's make him get up. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand praise.
Hallelujah. God bless you. This is Pastor Jaron Christopher O'Neill. Unfortunately, we're out of time. But I trust that this message has touched your heart and reached you at your point of need. I pray that God will continue to minister to you as you meditate on this word. Remember, you can build your faith by hearing in repetition. But right now, I'd like to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Please repeat this prayer after me with all the faith you have in your heart. Let's begin. Dear Lord, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I realize I have sinned and I cannot save myself. So I put my faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. I believe he died on the cross for me, and the blood he shed washed away my sins. I believe he rose from the dead and that he's coming back again. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my heart to be my Lord and Savior, and I make a commitment to live for you. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, according to Romans 10, 9, and 10, you are saved by confession of your faith. So now it's time for you to get planted in a church home where you can continue to grow. So I would like to invite you to worship with us at Fountain of Love Christian Center every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m. To connect with us, please visit us at www.allinthefountain.com. And to connect with me and get more powerful messages, please visit me at www.jarronconeal.com. That's JarronconeaL.com. Listen, I look forward to seeing you soon. But until then, remember this, everything you need is in the fountain.